You're listening to the Run the Riot podcast, where we talk about all things ultra running. I'm your host, David Terrio, and man, I'm pumped that you are here. Let's see what we can get into today. Hey there, my friends. Welcome back to the Run the Riot podcast. I'm so glad that you guys listen and just join in the fun. You know, I enjoy getting to do this podcast. It is a blast. It is work. Now, look, let me tell you, it's work to edit this thing, to schedule things and all that fun stuff. But man, I get to meet new people. And I know I hear from so many of you that you get encouraged when you're listening to different people. And what's funny is, you know, some things that really inspire one person might be not a big deal to someone else, but then someone else hears something totally different that inspires them. And I don't know, man, I just love it. I get to talk to the coolest people who are doing the coolest things and overcoming and pushing through, and I get inspired. You know, I get energized. Well, speaking of energized, I want to talk to you about a little product called Magic Mind. Now, it's no secret. I kind of share that I get up early in the morning to do my runs, you know, being a family man, being a dad. And so I'm up 4 o'clock just about every morning to get out, do my run, to do my workout, to get things done so I can start my day. And which is great. And I try to go to bed pretty early. It doesn't always happen. But man, I'll be honest. After I eat lunch, I get tired, dude. I start to crash for a little while right after I eat lunch at work. And so I found this product called Magic Mind. And Magic Mind is really cool. I was doing energy drinks for a while after lunch. And man, some of those things just have crazy chemicals in them. They've got some caffeine, which is really good. But some of them just, I don't know, man. And so when I found Magic Mind, what I liked is that number one, it works. You just sip on it. It's just a little bottle. You sip on it and it doesn't get you jittery or anything. Just your awareness is so much better. Your mental focus, it kind of just brings you up a few notches, you know? I just feel like I'm more productive, less stressed out, you know, even more creative and even just honestly, a better memory. And as I get older, that's very valuable. But the cool thing about it is, all the things that are in it, I recognize. You know, it's full of natural chemicals, matcha, ashwagandha. You know, I know they sound crazy, but they're all things that we've heard of, lion's mane, cordyceps, and some other things. And, you know, you just sip on that and then you reap the benefits. So, Magic Mind, man, guys, I commend it to you. It is great. It has a very unique flavor and it enhances everything that you're doing. So guys, try Magic Mind out. Go to www.magicmind.com/runtheriot. Again, www.magicmind.com/runtheriot and use the code RIOT20, RIOT20, and you'll get a discount. So check out Magic Mind, guys. Be alert. You know, there's no reason for you to be all tired if you don't have to be. So check it out. Now let's get to this podcast. Today on the Run the Riot podcast, I've got Sarah Jones. What's going on, Sarah?
Not much. It's all going good over here. How are you?
Oh, you know, just a busy day working. And okay, so it's kind of windy here. Is it windy there too?
It is. We did a run today and it was windy.
Okay, where are you located?
So we're in Sepulpa, Oklahoma.
Okay. I was thinking you were further away, but you're not that far. Yeah.
No, it's just like 30 minutes kind of southwest of Tulsa.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice. So, yeah, it was, I ran early this morning and early, it was probably one of the windiest times I've, like 40 mile an hour gusts. I almost got blown into the street a couple times.
Yes. Yeah. I was running just in a little park. And so it was like, every time I kind of turned a corner, it was into the wind and I turned a corner back out of the wind and then back into the wind. And yeah. Yep.
Posture constantly changing, like bending over, trying to be aerodynamic and, you know,
yep. Yeah. You're holding on to your hat for a second and then you're like, okay, yep, it's fine. And then you're holding on to it again.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've been in Oklahoma for 7 years and I just haven't got used to it, you know? Because I mean, Louisiana, when it's windy like that, it's usually a hurricane or something. So, you know, but just that constant wind, I'm still getting used to it. Like, it surprises me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think I run on Riverside a lot, and you can pretty much always count that on the way back from your, like, if you do an out and back, you're going to be running into the wind the whole way back. Just, you just know it's going to happen.
Well, you know, at least you get it, because sometimes I run and I feel like I'm running into the wind there, and it shifts and I'm running into the wind back. So it's ridiculous. Right? Oh, yep. Man. So are you from Sepulpa?
So I'm from Beggs, which is a little further south, but only by probably 20, 25 minutes. So okay. I've kind of been local to this area my whole life.
Nice. So I drove through Beggs recently. I don't remember what for, but the only reason I know kind of Beggs before that was the school I work at. We play against Beggs a lot in football. Yes. So like every year. And so sometimes we win and sometimes you guys win. And so, yeah.
it's
kind of a rivalry thing, kind of, I think.
Is it? Wow. I was never into sports. And so I'm so out of touch with the sports world.
Well, that's a good kind of lead-in question, because so you're doing this running now. So you didn't do any kind of sports growing up in Beggs?
Yeah. So I'm repping my Keep Homeschool Weird shirt. Nice. I was homeschooled from pre-K all the way through high school.
Okay.
And none of my siblings. I think my brother David did soccer for a little bit, but that was just because he really wanted to. The rest of us had no sports.
Okay. Well, I'm going to date myself here, because you're younger than my oldest daughter. Ah, God, that's crazy. All right. All right, we're gonna change the subject. So
yeah.
we homeschooled my both my oldest daughters for quite a while, and I have visions of, and Kristen's probably gonna listen to this. She's my oldest, of her and Kayla in the backyard wearing bonnets, because they read Little House on the Prairie. So we got them bonnets and the outfits, and they were playing like, you know, they were acting out Little House on the Prairie stuff they read in their book and stuff. So they would love the shirt, Keep Homeschool Weird. Homeschool weird.
Yes. we were very wild children. My parents have 21 acres. They still live where we grew up, and there's creeks that stay running all summer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm one of seven, so I'm the third oldest.
Wow.
And my mom, like, she's a saint. I don't know how she homeschooled all of us, like, kept all of us alive. I don't know how she did it. But it would be one of those things where, like, okay, we're done with school. And she'd just be like, everybody outside. Like, when I ring the dinner bell, come back for supper. But other than that, like, you better be outside for the rest of the day. And so I did grow up a lot outdoors.
Yeah,
and I could tell you so many stories. Like, me and almost all of my siblings got chased by a cottonmouth.
Oh, nice.
We were down
yes.
in the creek, and we thought, like, hey, let's poke this snake with some sticks and see what happens.
Yeah.
So we were very dangerous, very wild, a big sense of adventure. And then we kind of would come back and tell my parents, and they were just like, what? You did what? Like, there was no asking. Like, is this a good idea? We just did it. And then they were like, oh my goodness, guys, come on.
It's so funny how things have changed. And because I grew up in the country, some acreage in the middle of sugarcane fields in South Louisiana. And that was us. We'd go out with our pellet guns. We'd shoot snakes and squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
And come home and clean, you know, and just gone all day. And like during the summer, I mean, we didn't homeschool, but my parents would be like, go outside, you know, me mm-hmm. and my brother. And we'd spend all the time outside riding our bikes, terrorizing the neighborhood and doing whatever. So I don't know. I think that's something that I read something this past week that was pretty funny. It said that parents are feeding their kids free range meat from free range chickens while their kids are trapped inside these boxes they call homes and playing on their screens all the time. And so the chickens are free range, but our kids are not. And I think that's messed up.
Oh yeah, I agree. And a lot of like kind of my story and talking about my kids and running, a lot of it kind of comes from that, because we do live in town. Like, we don't have a huge backyard.
Yeah.
So keeping that sense of adventure alive, that you don't just need to be inside all the time, finding ways to incorporate that in like town. Like, you don't have to live in the country to still be able to instill that sense of adventure and stuff in your kids.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get to that, but I have more questions about you. We'll get there in a second. That's going to be good. So did just curious, did your parents, they just homeschooled because just for choice? Was it because you lived out in the country, or they just said, you know, we want to homeschool our kids?
Yeah, I think my parents just felt a deep call for discipleship. My dad is a fireman in Tulsa. He retired after 27 years, and my mom stayed home. And so I think they just really felt a call to, to want to educate and just be able to have a influence over their kids. Just bringing us up to love God and love each other, and family values were huge.
I love
it. We definitely had friends, but it was like we played with each other far more than we played with any other kids. Like, obviously there's like a small tribe of us. So we had plenty of people to work. Yeah. Like, if you were mad at this sibling, you're like, well, I'm going to go hang out with this sibling now, you know? So they gave us a good amount of people to work with.
Well, and what was interesting with my girls with homeschooling, and we'll get to running in a minute, because, and they run too. But anyway, what was interesting with that is they were really close together because they were a year and 3 weeks apart, but they also, with church and other things that we did, they really socialized well and got to know people because we were always busy doing things and, you know, they had each other, but they also, they had a social aspect of it. That's what a lot of people like homeschooling, and the kids won't know how to talk to other people and all that. Well, you were full of other people all the time, so you had other people built in, but you can be intentional about making sure, you know, your kids know how to be around people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And something that this was kind of just like a little memory from my childhood, we always had garage sales.
Yeah.
And we would like make brownies and we would sell them. And my parents did, I think, an excellent job of teaching us how to interact with adults, how to carry a conversation.
Yes.
So we may not have had like a ton of time with other kids. We did, because at church on Sundays and Wednesdays, we hung out, we ran around, played tag for hours at night.
Yeah.
But communicating with adults, learning to go out, be respectful, like have a conversation. And so people would always be shocked. I mean, if they saw all of us, they kind of knew we were homeschooled just because there were so many of us. But if they just met one of us, they might be surprised that we were, you know, as social as we were, given that we were homeschooled.
That's funny. That's cool. So one last thing about that, one of the things that was cool is we'd set up for our kids, like, here's what you have to do for the week. Here's your curriculum. Here's your math, blah, blah, blah. And you can work ahead and get done, like, and have like Friday off if you do an extra thing every day. And so they would work extra and still get finished when you don't have all the assemblies and meetings and all this stuff. Our girls did really well, and they would finish even early during the day, and then they could even take Friday off, and they were ahead when they went back to school. They were ahead of everybody else, you know? And so, I don't know. Did you guys find that, find it, you know, just more freeing, I guess.
Yeah. So we had a pretty good sized test group of personalities.
Yeah.
But I was definitely someone that loved homeschooling. I have always been an early riser. And the rest of my family didn't get up till probably around 8 or 9 o'clock. My mom was not an early riser. And so she wasn't like, you know, up at the crack of dawn, making all of us get up and do our chores at school. But I would just kind of wake up on my own. And I remember one day I woke up at 5 a.m. I like couldn't sleep. And so I just got up, got my school, went to the kitchen table. I finished my school by 8 o'clock, and I went and hopped back in bed. Everybody else is kind of waking up, and I like hop out of bed and I'm like, I'm going outside. Like, I'll see you guys later. And it was a great fit for me.
Yeah.
Being someone who was an early riser, I was always very driven and just kind of motivated to get it done. And so, with our kids now, we homeschool, and we typically are done pretty early in the day, which we love because then we get to be outside. We get to go do fun things and stuff. And it's always nice when other kids are in school, because you go out and it's like just you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, this is so nice. No lines, like no crowds.
Yeah. And that was one of the nice things too. When you decided to go anywhere, amusement parks or whatever, most other kids were out of school or in school. And so it was nice. You didn't have to wait for breaks where everybody else was doing the same thing. So that was cool.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So you grew up homeschool with your tribe, and what did you do after school? Did you what did you do?
Yeah, so this is a pretty short story. It's not very lengthy. Yeah. Okay. I started working when I was 14. I babysat, and this is the most like country thing. I worked at a pecan farm, sorting pecans. off a conveyor belt. And I did that for like 3 years over like pecan season.
Yeah.
And so I would drive myself to work. I would do my work. I would do my school at home. I would do my babysitting job in the evening. And I did that all through high school.
Nice.
And then,
I'm glad you said pecan and not pecan, because I have an ongoing argument with my relatives in Georgia, because they talk about pecans, and I'm like, no, we don't pee in cans. It's pecans, man. Come on. I've never even thought about that, though. I've never heard of that job. I've been around pecans. Yeah. We've had them. We picked them all over in our yard and shucked, you know, cracked them and ate them and all that. But I've never heard of a pecan starter.
it was a funny job, because the lady that owned the farm only hired high schoolers. We made like $7.50 an hour, like whatever minimum wage was. But she had this room that was full of snacks, like the break room. She would like go to Sam's and just load up on like Twizzlers, like all the candy you could think of. And as like 14 and 15 year olds, we're like, this is the best job we'll ever have. Yes. We can eat as much candy as we want. Like, we'll work like just our, we'll work our bums off for this free gift. Don't even pay us. Like, we just want this free candy.
And she was just sugaring you guys up so you'd work faster. That's all it was, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was there caffeine included in there? Was there?
Oh, yeah. So, that's anyway. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then I got a job at Chick-fil-A, as all the homeschoolers have to do.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yes, exactly. And I didn't know what I wanted to do for college. I kind of thought about nursing, some things like that, but I just didn't know. And I didn't want to go to school and waste time and money if I wasn't sure. So I was like, well, I'll work for a year or two, save up some money. I was still living at home. Well, my future husband actually interviewed me at Chick-fil-A. And
nice.
So I met him day one. We worked together for a couple months, kind of a thing, started dating, and then we got married like 8 months later.
Oh, wow. That's the fast track. So he interviewed you. Was there any inkling when he interviewed you that that there could be more to it than just a job?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm 10 years younger, 9 years and 9 months younger.
Okay.
So for him, there definitely wasn't, like, not even on his radar.
Yeah.
I had older siblings that worked there. And so I had seen him around and I thought he was cute. I was like, all right, like, he's a good looking guy, but like, he's way out of my league. He's too old. He's probably into more mature women. Like, you know, I'm like 18.
Yeah.
So we start working together and I definitely just have a huge crush. And it all started, I invited him out to ride four wheelers with my family, because I had brothers that worked there, so it wasn't too weird.
Yeah.
No joke, first time he comes out, he rolls one of our four wheelers. I heard his back. We are pulling a sled. It was snowing. We're pulling a sled on a four wheeler because this is a great idea. And we're seeing if we can knock the person off the sled. And so I did a bump. Yeah, I think his back is still messed up to this day from almost, you know, 10 years ago.
Nice.
First hanging out.
That's awesome.
So you
working at Chick-fil-A, you got married, and then were you still working there when you got married?
We both kept working there for a while, and then he worked at some different jobs. I don't even remember. But I worked there, and this is where the running part kind of starts to come in.
Yeah.
So I never ran outside of tag, which is great exercise. Like, if you've ever played tag with a big group of kids, you know, like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But never really ran. Well, we got married. I'd been working at Chick-fil-A for about a year, and we've been married for about 6 months. And, you know, the, like, post-marriage happy pounds, and you're just working at Chick-fil-A, having shakes all the time and enjoying the chicken sandwiches. And I was basically like, I should start doing some sort of physical exercise other than just, like, coming home and watching movies with my new husband and working. Yeah. So I kind of started picking up running, and I maybe had been running for like a month or two, not very long, just like a mile here or there. And I want to talk about this because I think it's something that doesn't get talked about very often. And so I'm going to leave it all out there. But my husband and I got pregnant, and we weren't planning on that. And I didn't know. And then I found out pretty quickly that we were miscarrying. That really scared me. I kind of have a history of that in my family. And so I immediately kind of went to like worst case scenario, you know, are we going to be able to ever have kids? Mm. And I was really scared that me running was like why that happened. Mm. And there's like science to back up that that's not like necessarily true. And,
right.
But at the time it was just like, I immediately stopped because I was really scared and really heartbroken, you know, going through a lot of emotions, didn't really think about running too much. The next month, we got pregnant again, completely by accident. Apparently, we're just really bad at not getting pregnant. Well, so we got pregnant again. Again, I'm really feeling very nervous. I think as a lot of women have experienced, if you've had a miscarriage, you carry a lot of kind of anxiety and fear with future pregnancies. And you don't really get to experience just the joy of never having had a miscarriage before.
Yeah.
And so we go to the doctor's office. I'm just really nervous, really hoping like, let there be a heartbeat. You know, that would just be great. We go in, we're sitting there. My husband's holding my hand. We're just, I'm super nervous. I can feel my heart just thumping in my chest. And the ultrasound tech says, this is the first thing she says after like, hey, how are you? She says, looks like there's two of them.
Oh, man.
And we were like, wait, what? And like, you know, you're looking at a screen, but it's all black and white. You can't really tell what you're looking at. Like it's a bunch of shadows.
Kidney
like,
beans just, or whatever.
Yeah. You just have no idea what you're looking at. So she says, looks like there's two of them. And we're like, wait, what?
Legs? And she's like, yeah, two legs?
Yeah.
Two arms?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, look, so here's a little egg sac and a little egg sac. And there's the little babies inside each one, A and B. And I like was crying. I was like, shocked. Just my husband was like laughing, crying. We're like staring at each other like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, this is wild. No history of twins in my family at all.
Yeah.
So running very much so is completely out of the picture. Like, didn't even think about it for this whole kind of season of having twins. So we'll fast forward. We have the twins. They come a month early. You know, they're in the NICU. I had pretty severe postpartum depression for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And I didn't register it as that at the time. I didn't really know. I just thought it was kind of normal.
Yeah.
Looking back, it's like, oh, wow, I probably should have been like talking to somebody and seeking some help.
Yeah.
But, you know, hindsight, 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
So about the time my boys were 8 months old, I decided like, it's time, they're old enough, I'm sleeping, they're sleeping through the night, it's time to lose this baby weight, like let's exercise. And it was purely that. It wasn't like, I wasn't looking for anything like, oh, I'm gonna love it. Like it was purely like, I'm willing to suffer to get back into shape, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I started running and I trained for my first 5K, which was like a classic turkey trot. I trained for a couple months and it really just took off from there. I did another 5K, then a half, then another half. And, you know, as the progression goes, and that was in 2017 was the first, the turkey trot I did.
Nice. You drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And it's isn't it crazy how you know, you go run a race and for some people they can just go run 5Ks and they're good, but it sparks something in a lot of people like, well, if I can do a 5K, or I can do it faster. And then like, oh, I can do a 10K. You know, there's something like, I think I can do a 10K. And then I think I can do a half marathon or, you know, and there's just something that, there's always more. And so I don't know. I guess you were just wired that way, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me and maybe for a lot of moms, I'm not going to generalize to all moms because I don't know. But for me as a mom, it was like my one thing that was just for me. When I first started, it's just me. My husband would get home from work, like, Lord bless him. He would work these long hours. He would get home and I'm like handing him the babies and I'm like, okay, bye. I'll be back in an hour. Like, you know, so my husband is the real trooper through this experience because in the beginning, leaving him with 1 year old twins so that I could go out and run and just have a little time to decompress and to do something to take care of myself was really huge. And so I think for me, it really started with like, like, wow, I didn't realize I was capable of this. Like, I didn't think I could do this. Like when I did a 5K, I was like, oh, there's no way I'd ever do a marathon. Like that's for really serious people. Like only really hardcore people do that. That's not me. And so, yeah, I think it was kind of a little bit of all of that kind of mixed together.
Well, and all of us that run, that we're married and have families, we have to think about our spouses and thank them. Cause you know, I do pretty good. I run early in the morning before everybody's awake and stuff, but there's still a lot of Saturdays and, you know, where I'm going in the morning doing long runs and, you know, and the races and everything else, you know, it is, or I'm really tired by the time it's like 8 o'clock at night, I'm falling asleep on the couch, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, thankfully, you know, we have spouses that are good, but here's the thing though. I think a lot of them realize, and I don't know if your husband realized this or not, but like, it was good for you probably to go out instead of making you stay home and just, you know, it was a reset for you probably, I would think, after being home with the kids all day and, you know, one crying, one sleeping, the crying one wakes up the other one and they swap and, you know, trying to feed them and all the things all day, like hit the reset. And then you probably were more available for him after that.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of those things where you kind of feel like you come back to yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And as parents, I think we can all relate to this. Like, you spend your whole day giving, like whether it's at work or with your family. And it's nice just to have a moment where you can just go put in music or no music, a podcast, whatever it is, and just have some time to just think and kind of decompress. And then you come back and you are in a better mood. You are like, you have those the endorphins are real, people.
Yeah.
Like when you get back from a run, you feel better. You feel like a lot more cheerful. At least I do. Like if I get home right before bedtime, I'm like, all right, kids, bedtime. Whereas normally I'm like, okay, it's bedtime. Like get in there. Like the day is over. We're done. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. And you can be a better wife, a better mom, you know, if you have that and you know, that just that time. And so that's cool that your husband was all about that, you know, making sure, you know, you can get your needs met too, as far as that goes. So
yeah.
That's pretty good when you know, when you're training and you're doing shorter distances and stuff. But, you know, I'd imagine as the distances progressed, you're running a little bit longer. So how did you get that done? And you're having another child and things go. So how did that progress, the training?
Yeah. So running with the twins pretty quickly. So my husband's job at the time was pretty manual intensive, and he would work some weeks like 50 hours. And it got to the point where like, I realized I needed to be running longer distances or just more weekly mileage to be able to be prepared for the kind of races I wanted to do, which were basically marathons, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I just felt, I would feel bad. Like really, you know, it's not that he's not willing. It's that I'm like, oh, he's working so hard. I feel bad leaving and I'm missing the family time.
Yeah.
Like there's videos that he has on his phone of me kind of coming in and he'd be like recording the boys doing really cute stuff or whatever. And I'm just coming in from a run. I'd be like, oh, like what's happening? What did I miss? Like, and so I kind of pretty quickly was just like, you know, I need to find a way to make this sustainable so that I can keep pursuing this, but also be with my family. And so I tried a bunch. This was very trial and error, running with the twins. I hated double jogging strollers because they're so huge.
Yeah.
Like fitting them in the back of your car is insane. And I guess I should back up just a little bit. We were super poor. Like we brought the twins home from the hospital. We had like $1,000, no joke, like broke. And we were just praying and relying on the Lord to take care of us.
Yeah.
And he did. He's so faithful. But when I started running, it was like, okay, how are we going to do this? Like running shoes are expensive. Running gear is expensive. And so one of the things, and this is, I've told many people this that have like been like, oh, running shoes are so expensive. Like how do you change your shoes every 3 or 4 months or every 300, 400 miles? And what I did was I would get on eBay just sporadically. And I had one new pair of shoes, the very first pair of shoes I got before I had all the kids.
Yeah.
And I like studied the tread so I could tell they were new. I looked at all the lines that would very quickly
zooming
disappear.
In.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know how quickly the tread starts to disappear as you put those miles on. So if you use the really fine lines that were there right when you bought them.
Yeah,
so I would get on eBay and I would just scroll. I would find the exact same pair of shoes and the exact same size. Look at the tread. Oh, the tread's trashed. Okay. Keep going. Clearly a runner has already put 300 miles on these shoes, but you could find them and they'd be anywhere from like $30 to $50
nice.
As opposed to like $140. And so for probably at least 2 years, I exclusively bought used running shoes.
Yeah.
And I remember being so excited one time because I went to a garage sale and they had like four pair. It was the Asics Gel Nimbus were my go-to.
Yeah.
And they had like four pair there and they were selling them for $20. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe this. This is like the best day of my life. Like, I just got enough shoes to last me like the whole year. I can't believe it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that was one way of getting running into our life when finances weren't the most available.
Yeah.
So with finances not being the most available, running strollers are insane. They're yes. so expensive.
Yeah.
And so a double running stroller, I'd kind of check some out, use like Facebook Marketplace, and I just didn't love how big they were. And so no joke, one time I took two umbrella strollers, you know, the really flimsy ones you get at Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like zip tied them together and was like, I'm curious if I can push this and run. I did it like twice. It was terrible. I could barely turn the thing. The kids were fine. They were happy.
I was going to say, you didn't almost kill your kids? Because those things are kind of wonky, man, with those little tires and everything, dude.
Yeah, it was bad. But that's everything I have to say today. A lot of trial and error went into figuring out ways to make this work. I've tried it all. So my next idea was, what if I pull them? Ah. So I look into some, there's some things like you can buy to pull. And those are like, they're worse than double strollers. Like they're $500.
Yeah.
And they hold one kid. And you're like, okay, well, that's not going to work. So I got on Facebook Marketplace and I found a Red Ryder plastic wagon with plastic wheels. Basically, the whole thing's plastic. I used two belts. I used one belt around my waist and one belt to connect the handle of the wagon to the belt. And I pulled them like that through a good part of my pregnancy with my next daughter. And people would just be so shocked.
Yeah.
But it worked. And it was by far the best, most efficient way I could find. Like,
it's a great workout.
Yeah, cost effective, great cross training. They loved it. And I think having twins helped because they just rode in the back and they would just chat. And they had their little fruit cups and like their water bottles and they really enjoyed it. Typically I couldn't go for more than 30 or 40 minutes before they were pretty like, okay, these plastic seats are not that comfortable. Like we're ready to get out of here, but it worked really well. And that was something I kind of stowed away because I definitely used that again later on after I have my daughter. So I was, we get pregnant again. And in between my sons and my daughter, we had multiple more miscarriages.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that prompted me to run my first marathon. We had been trying. The miscarriages had gotten significantly more just painful, more difficult. And emotionally, it's just really hard. It's hard on couples. It's hard on the wives or the woman, whoever is having whoever's experiencing that loss. It's just really hard.
Yeah.
And so I basically was just like, I don't feel like I can try anymore. I need to just have a little time to recover, to heal. And so I set the goal that I wanted to run a marathon. So up to this point, I'd only done halves and that sort of thing. And I kept a good weekly mileage just to stay fit. And I really enjoyed it. So I signed up for the Golden Driller Marathon, which is actually coming up in Tulsa this weekend. So it's kind of an anniversary.
Got a runner, our coach, who's going to be running it.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. So I did the Golden Driller Marathon, my first marathon, very classic, went out way too fast. I think I was the first place female for like the first 15 miles. And then I started very quickly getting passed by a lot of people. And I think that... Yeah, the second half took me almost twice as long as the first half of the race.
The wall standard. That's where you learn the wall is real.
And I went out. I paced myself so poorly.
Yeah, you were excited.
That marathon. Yeah, I was. And I was like, I trained so hard. Like, I can do this. And so anyway.
Yeah.
It was ambitious. So I finished that marathon. Swore off marathons. I'm never going to do another marathon. Like, I'm done. That's it for me.
That was stupid.
It was fun to do once, but that was terrible. Yeah. I feel like trash. Like, I'm done. Like, we're good. So 2 weeks after that, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter.
And wow.
I basically was like, all right, you know, this is the Lord's timing. We're just praying that this one hangs with us. And I had already decided I'm not going to stop running. At this point, it's totally in the Lord's hands. And we just have to trust that if this baby's meant to be with us, then they're going to make it. And so I continued to run. And I did another turkey trot, the same one I had done several years previous. And I was so proud of myself. I ran a... I have it all. I have my race sheet. The
you got your own. Nice.
Yes. That I keep track of. But I did it in 29:37 and I was 32 weeks pregnant.
Nice.
And so it was like my moment where I was like, it's all paid off. Like 32 weeks pregnant. I just ran this 5K in under 30 minutes. Like it's all worth it.
So how 32 weeks, how big was your belly sticking out? Did it like finish a few seconds faster than the rest
of
you?
Yeah, it was significant. Let's just say people were staring, like people were pointing like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah,
that's good.
And I feel like, in 2019, I feel like now you see more pregnant women running, and there definitely were pregnant women running in 2019, like no doubt, but I don't feel like it was as common. Like now I feel like running has become a bigger thing in the last 5 years, and you see it more often now with social media and stuff. But in 2019, like I didn't know personally anyone pregnant that was running that far into their pregnancy.
Hey guys, you wanting to run all the miles, you wanting to run all the races, you wanting to cruise through those 100-mile, well, let's just be honest, we don't cruise through 100-mile races. They are hard. But you feel like you need a little guidance, you need some help. Well, I've got some help for you. Run the Riot podcast and coaching can help you. If you are interested in getting a coach to help you run all the races, go ahead and check out www.runtheriot.run and click on that coaching page, and you'll see that it's myself, David Terrio, and we just brought on Chad Hetrick, who won second place in Arkansas Traveler. He's got his certification and he is looking to help others achieve their ultra running goals. You need some help, you need some guidance, you need somebody to tell you how far to run and how fast to run it. Check out our experienced coaches at Run the Riot Coaching. What I love, my oldest daughter, who just had our second grandbaby, you know, not too long ago, when I went visit before, and we would go to the gym together, and she would get on the treadmill. She was big and pregnant, and then she would do lifting weights and squatting and all that stuff. And at the gym now, I see this young lady who's pregnant and doing all those things, and it reminds me of her. But you know, my daughter was, she said, I'm going to keep doing this. This is good for my health, for the baby's health, my pelvic floor, all the things, you know? And so, I love it. And there's really no, you know, unless you have some kind of issues or some things and the doctor, you know, you got to talk to your doctor. But for the most part, if you're healthy, you can move and you can do things while you're pregnant. And it's actually pretty good for you.
Yeah. And I think especially if you've been doing it before you're pregnant,
yes,
if you're just
yes.
maintaining what you have already developed,
exactly.
then yeah,
yes.
I think it's pretty low risk unless you have other underlying health issues. And obviously, yeah, a medical professional consult your doctor. But yeah, I 100% agree.
No, so that's cool though. One of the best things, and I'll share this with you, my daughter who had my grandbaby, our first grandbaby and second, I coached her to do her first 50K, and she came, they're in South Louisiana, and she came, and I got so emotional watching her finish her 50K because she's a mom doing the things like you're talking about now, having to figure out when to run, how to get the training in. And her husband was a trooper the same way. And I was just, it meant so much to her to be able to do that and to show that she's strong, in the middle of it. And I don't know, it got me emotional. So like I'm having flashbacks right now. So I'm not going to cry, but anyway, the struggle is real. You know, you've got to, but you, if you want it, you make a way. And that's kind of what you were doing with wagons and strollers and zip ties and, all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really true. I think just finding ways to be creative to make it happen, and we continue. We still, as I can talk about more.
Let's go. So how old is your little girl now?
Yeah. So Liz, the baby is 4.
Okay.
It's so big. So I'll kind of go back a little bit.
Yeah, let's go back.
Because it really is an evolution of how I got the way I am. I think a lot of people see me now and they're just like, wow, you're like so good at this. And it's like, no, it was so much trial and error. Like if you had seen me pushing my zip tie strollers, you'd be like, what is this woman doing?
There was some bad before the good.
Oh yeah. Lots of trial and error in here. So I have my daughter and I didn't run for about a year after I had her is COVID. She was born in 2020.
Nice.
So COVID's happening. A lot of the races were weird. It was either like they're canceled or virtual or you have to wear masks. It was all just weird. Yeah. So I did a lot of strength training, but I did not really get back into running higher mileage until that first year was kind of over. So yeah, then starting back running again. So, my boys are getting a little older. They're not quite good at riding bikes yet, but we're practicing and Liz is old enough to ride in the stroller. So it becomes pushing the stroller, pulling the wagon. And thank goodness for my Toyota Sienna. That thing is cargo space like no other vehicle. Because I'm like trying to shove this giant red wagon, like watching me get out at the park was probably comical because I'm like pulling everything out. And then it's just like one kid. And I'm just the engine powering it all.
Yeah. You pull out the kid containers and then you put the kids in the kid containers.
Yes. Well, and then I have my cooler with all the snacks because if there is one thing that's going to make you successful running with your kids, you have to have an absurd amount of snacks, like enough for days. Yeah, and they will go through them in about 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I've got all the snacks, all the water bottles. Like I when I first started, I would bring like some little books or something because they were still kind of young. And so yeah, it was crazy. There was multiple times I had to stop because they had like chucked something out of the wagon. And I'm like, okay, like let me unhook because it was impossible to turn. Like to do a full U-turn was basically impossible. Yeah, because you're like trying to push the stroller into the wagon. You'd like back up. So it was like when people just saw me running, they were like, wow, like great job. But if you'd seen me like turn around, you would have been like, what is happening right now?
Where were you running? Where would you go to run?
So Riverside.
Okay.
Riverside in Tulsa. Still our favorite spot.
It's great. There's no car. You don't have to worry about cars and stuff. But I can imagine because there's a lot of times there's a lot of people running and stuff like you trying to turn around and like taking people out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we go in the bike lane? Do we go in the pedestrian lane? Like, right. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
Yes. We still love Riverside. And my races have gotten progressively longer. And so as my kids have gotten older, I'm really grateful I started running with them when I did, because I think like with running, you know, we start small. We start with these 5Ks. And if you just jump into a 100-miler, it's not to say you couldn't do it, but you're probably just going to be in for a world of hurt, not having the knowledge you kind of learn along the way.
Right.
And so starting with my kids really young, I think has been so helpful because I think they do a lot better than other kids their age would probably do just because they're used to our rhythm and they're used to our routine and what we do. And they get really excited. One of the things that's so helpful that I realized pretty quickly was like, we really hype it up. Like the day before, I'm like, guys, we're going to Riverside. Like, it's going to be so fun. We're going to have super yummy snacks. Like, we're going to stop at the playgrounds along the way and having different conversations as well of like, for my boys being 4, 5, 6, now they're 7, the bald eagle is like the white whale of Riverside. And so we'll be running and we're getting out of the van. I'm like, who's going to see the bald eagle? Like who's going to spot it? And doing things like that to keep their minds really engaged of like, they're looking in the trees, you know, they're checking things out. And just when I run, I would occasionally try to listen to music or I would try to do something and it just never worked. They would be getting irritated. Things just weren't going well. And so I learned pretty quickly, they really wanted to be connected, to be having conversations with me.
Yeah.
And so it was really, I feel like I just learned so much about just my kids and kids in general. They would just start talking about that dog they just saw, or why did that dog look like that? Or why did that squirrel run that way? And we would just get into these conversations and they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I could tell they really liked it. And we would count things like, okay, you know, Riverside goes right along Riverside Drive. And so you have a lot of cars you can see. And so we would be like, okay, let's count how many yellow cars we see.
Nice.
And so just doing things like that to keep them involved with what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's really a great alternative where a lot of kids would be bored and want to play a game on your phone or have toys with them, which doesn't work well in strollers because they're tossing them out. You're having to stop, start. And so, yeah, just having conversations with them about the weather. Why does that cloud look the way it does?
Yeah.
How many petals are on this flower? How many more of these do you think we're going to see on our way? You know, just things like that really seem to help them to do really well, on the runs.
Being present yourself and then having them be present and engaged. I'm just thinking about like the cool memories that they're going to have. Like, Mom, remember when you used to like push us and pull us up and down Riverside and have to back up and go forward to turn around or something when we chuck stuff out, you know?
Right.
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be really cool memories for them and that, and mean a lot that when they realize, when it clicks, like, wow, Mom, you know, Mom did this hard thing with us, you know, and these hard things. And that's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's really neat. I think a lot of parents will go running with their kids once and it's like, that was terrible. We don't want to do that. Like I barely got my run in. They complained the whole time. And I really think to run successfully with your kids, it has to be, and this is something I talk about because when I first started running, I very much so had like kind of a spirit of perfectionism.
Yeah.
I need this run to go this certain way because I want to succeed and I need to do these miles exactly how my plan says I need to do them.
Yeah.
And I think when you involve kids, it's really helpful to let go of that perfectionistic spirit because if you hold on to it, it ends up just being a terrible time. It's terrible for you. It's terrible for them. Nobody's enjoying it. You never want to do it again. But when you kind of let that go and, you know, we're going to stop and everyone's going to have a water break. We're going to stop at this playground. Everyone's going to play for a while. You actually end up really enjoying your time with them.
Yeah.
And you just see them experiencing this adventure that it's so exciting. Like I took the kids, we usually run kind of the same stretch of Riverside. And this one day I was like, do you guys want to go somewhere we've never gone before? And they were like, whoa. And so we went a little further north up Riverside and there was a playground they had never played at. And it was just like their minds were blown. Yeah. And I was like, just to see their perspective of this is so cool. And just to like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a perfect run for me.
Yeah.
But that I can still like a run is a run. Like if you have to take a couple breaks, it's not going to destroy your fitness. Like it's not going to wreck your training plan.
Yeah.
But to be able to have that like child sense of adventure and to be able to like kind of be drawn back into that mindset, I think is really can keep you from burning out, can really make you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
That it doesn't just have to be pain and suffering, like hit that pace, do this, you know? So yeah, it's really awesome. And I think I would tell anybody that's like considering taking their kids, A, I highly recommend it. It is hard when you get started, but it has been the absolute best. And I feel like it really came kind of to like the peak for me. I did the Hilltop 50 mile race as my first 50 mile race.
Yeah.
That was in March. The September before I got plantar fasciitis, pretty bad, both feet. And so I cut back my miles to pretty much nothing, started going to a physical therapist, really honing in on strength training, trying to get it better. And it had been months. I canceled multiple races that I was really looking forward to trying to get myself back to a good place. And I finally was just like, this is silly. I don't care anymore. I'm going to do this Hilltop race. Like it's been long enough. My feet are doing better. I'm just going to push through. And I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So I started building my mileage.
It's a very runner thing to say. I don't care if I'm injured. I'm just doing this.
It really is. It's the running way.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had taken a full month off of running and done very little mileage for the next two following months. I was doing PT.
Yeah.
And plantar fasciitis is one of those injuries that can hang around for a while, even if you completely stop. Like I talked, I did ask a lot of other runners like, okay, so how long did you stop for? And they'd be like, oh, a year. And I was like, you stopped running for a whole year and you still had it? And they were like, yes. I was like, I'm not stopping for a year. That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's a crazy amount of time to stop for an injury.
Yeah.
So I did the 50-mile hilltop race. I was really excited, very nervous. My training was, my strength training was on point. I focused, and this is something I really suggest to a lot of moms. If you're not necessarily getting the mileage you want, double up on your strength, heavy weights, high reps. You can build, you can simulate that fatigue with weight training. And it is really, I think, can really change a race for you if you don't get to have the training block that you would like to have.
Yeah.
Because for some people, you're really busy. You have little kids. It's really hard to get those miles in. And so I really doubled down on my strength training. And I think the most miles I ran, again, this is building off 3 months. I think 1 month, I only ran like 100 miles. The next month, maybe 130.
Wow.
The next month, maybe 130 again. My weekly mileage, the highest week I did was like 32 miles.
Yeah.
Longest run, 16 miles, going into a 50-mile race.
Hmm.
So I was nervous. I was like, this could be a bad idea. But I knew I had committed that I would not stop. I was like, I'm not going to quit. I don't care how much pain I'm in. I will finish. It's a generous, it's a 15-hour cutoff. Plenty of time. But something I didn't necessarily recognize was it has a good amount of elevation for being, for someone who's a flatlander, does very little hill training. I want to say it was just like 4,500 feet over the 50 miles. So not a ton. Like if you're a mountain runner, that's like nothing. You're like, that's one thing, like no big deal.
But if you're Oklahoma.
For being in Oklahoma, coming off a very poor, like miles-based training plan, I was pretty nervous.
Yeah.
But I just went out there and I knew I wasn't going to quit. And so I just did my best. And my husband surprised me and he brought my kids out.
Nice.
And it was, I think I was around mile 30, 32. And I was feeling great, shockingly. I don't know why. I don't know how. But I was feeling really good. I think I attribute it to the strength training because the hill didn't really start getting hard. It's a looped race. And so you kind of go up the hill, you go down it, kind of a flat section, up, down, around. And I had to do that 37 times to make up the 50 miles.
Yeah. Ouch.
So, yeah. So it got progressively harder.
Yeah.
But my kids showed up. And by this point, I was still running, jogging. Around mile 40, it really started getting pretty intense. And 40 to 50 was pretty slow.
Yeah.
So my boys really wanted to come with me. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so they walked this one point, I think it's like 1.4 mile loop. And no joke, I'd already done this loop like 25 times and they were pointing stuff out I hadn't even seen. Like, look at all the moss on this rock. What's that ramp? And I was like, has that been here like this whole time? Like, how did I miss this?
That's crazy.
And so it's one of those things that kids bring to the table that as adults, we just miss this like childlike wonder of nature and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they kept, I love it. They kept telling me, you're doing such a great job, mom. Like you're
cool.
Doing so well. And I loved, one of my goals going to Hilltop was I wanted to be really encouraging to everyone else there. So every time
that's
I would
pass
somebody, I would say, you know, great job. You're doing awesome.
Yeah.
Keep moving. Like you're killing it. Way to go.
Yeah.
And cause I was moving pretty quickly in the beginning. I was doing like between 10, 11 minute pace for the first probably 20-ish miles. And so I was passing a good amount of people. And since it's a loop, you pass the same people a lot.
Yeah.
And so trying to stay very positive. And it was so sweet because I'm walking at this point, I'm tired. Like I'm fatigued. I still felt okay. Like I didn't get sick or anything. I'd done a great job of keeping fuel in me, but I was definitely getting fatigued.
Yeah.
And to see my boys, every time we would kind of get up on someone, they'd be like, great job. And they would just start being encouraging. And it's just one of those things that as a mom, my mom heart was like exploding because even though it's so hard and I'm dying. And so we get to the very last loop and they came on the very last loop with me. And so I knew it was the last loop. And again, they're like, I'm not moving very quickly, but they're like hopping up on rocks and they're just chatting to me and like, mom, what do you think this is? Mom, look at this. And it was just the sweetest thing. I was just like, this is exactly where I want to be. This is exactly what I want my kids to see. Like they're observing, you know, this determination. They're observing this resilience, this, you know, patience in suffering, empathy for others. Just all of these things that they get to observe being in the running community, like being at the race. They were seeing all of these runners. They wanted to help. They wanted to be in the mix with it. And you could tell they were feeding off the energy of everybody, encouraging each other and really lifting each other up and sharing food and sharing salt pills and, you know, all the stuff. But it was just, it was really one of those really special things where I felt like the last 4 years of running together was like kind of at a high point. Like, this is what we did all of this kind of for. And to see them be so excited to be there, to be a part of the community, was just really cool.
That's fantastic. That's Isaac's race, Isaac Bernoski's mm-hmm. race. Yeah.
Yep.
And and that's the reason he does that. And for those of you who heard my podcast with Isaac, he's just positive. He loves encouraging people and stuff. And that's one of the beautiful things I love about running. And I'm glad, you know, what a cool thing when your kids get to see that, you know, they get to see the encouragement, like, because you're technically kind of racing against those other people, but we all want each other to succeed. We're all doing our thing. And what you said a while ago about your kids noticing things, that's one of the things that when I've run some races before, so focused on pushing, driving, trying to, you know, cause I've raced competitive sometime. Sometimes you don't notice all the things because you're trying not to trip over a root and face plant and things like that, you know. But like when I went to do Moab, I was really intentional about taking it all in, and it's beautiful. And it's cool that your kids helped you to, you know, just like, look at this and look at this. And you're like, where did that come from? You know, it's like, it's cool. It just opens your eyes. And so it gave you a paradigm shift there, you know, like, oh yeah, there's nature, there's stuff, there's God's creation everywhere. And I'm just, yeah, that's so sweet, man. And the example that you set for your kids, they see the work you put in, you're hauling, you're pushing and pulling them. And then they get to see you achieve 50 miles, you know?
Yeah.
How huge.
And I think it's one of the like little notes I wrote down. I'm going to try to kind of find it here. Just, you know, you don't see a lot of, there's certain spaces that kids aren't really welcome. And you kind of get a vibe as a parent when you're just like, oh my goodness, people are kind of giving us dirty looks. Like, they don't want our kids here. And I love that the running community. So volunteering with kids is something I love doing. And I kind of, again, started slowly working into this, but we volunteered at a race together because I wanted them to be a part of serving the community, seeing the community work together to help individuals accomplish this like common goal. Mm. And so we volunteered at the half and half marathon in Tulsa that Runner's World does. It's a very fun half trail, half road.
Yeah.
We volunteered after church for the noon to 3 p.m. slot handing out medals because I was like, this is the perfect place for us to volunteer. And so there's not a ton of people. So you kind of have a little gaps between when people are finishing. And I was nervous. I brought a bunch of snacks, like all the things, like set us up for success. And they pretty much went between playing with sticks and rocks to running over, like grabbing a medal and giving it to people, giving people water bottles. And I just observed in them that they really enjoyed it. They enjoyed being a part of it and serving and being there. And so I think, you know, just a shout out to all the parents with kids that run, like bring your kids, like let them volunteer, like bring them into the space because it brings so much joy to the people there. Like when you see this just like super cute kid running around with medals, giving people water bottles, like it can really bring you out of it. Like, oh, I'm in so much pain. My body hurts. I'm struggling to like, dude, this is just the cutest kid. Like way to go, bud. Like, you know, it really kind of pulls you out of that. Like, like how I felt in the 50 mile, you can kind of internalize a lot.
Oh and yeah.
Having just this sweet little reminder of like, you know, there's more to life than the pain we're experiencing right this second.
Yeah,
like, look at the moss on that rock. It's insane. Like, you know. And so so the snake run was the week after Hilltop, and my feet were so wrecked. I had no blisters, which was great, but lost both my toes. Both my toenails did not make it.
Nice.
So I'm like hobbling, but I really wanted to do the snake run. Isaac did a great job of really hyping it up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be there. Everyone else is going to be there. Even if I don't run it, I'm going to go volunteer.
Yeah.
Well, I had neglected to realize it was daylight savings. And so I'm going with all my kids and we sign up for the early morning before church shift, which we had to leave at 5:40. We had to get up at 5:45.
Yeah.
Time change, 4:45. I was like, fingers crossed, my kids might hate me. Like, I really don't know how this is going to go.
I don't know how this is going to be.
So the dead of night, I wake them up. We get their flashlights, which they were pretty excited about the flashlights,
That's cool.
We go get donuts. We head to the snake run to volunteer. It also was like 34 degrees. Like, it was cold. Like, all of the worst things.
Let's get up early in the morning, like, kids, in the dark and freeze.
Yeah. It's going to be so cold. You're going to love it. Yeah. This is fun. Yeah. So we get there, and I have this, like, fold-out bench in the back of my car. I get it out. I have my blankets. I, you know, tuck my daughter in. I got donuts beforehand because I was like, this will save us.
Yeah.
And I'm just funneling donuts. I'm like, here, buddy, have another donut.
Yeah.
So we're getting raced up, set up. The sun kind of starts to come up, and the boys are wanting something to do to help. And, you know, it's kind of like we're kind of unboxing stuff. It's not a ton they can do.
Yeah.
Well, Isaac notices that there's a lot of like low hanging branches. And so he grabs some loppers and he just starts kind of trimming the trees around the finish line area. And I was like, boys, go grab those limbs and, you know, chuck them in the woods. And they started doing that and they were having a great time. And then we went out and we helped mark the course. And
nice.
They kind of put these like snakes, they spray painted these snakes pink. And so we got to go out and hide them. And they were just so thrilled to be out walking on the trail, putting up these snakes. We finished up around like 8 a.m., headed home, got ready and went to church.
Nice.
And the kids had the best time.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I think a lot of us underestimate what our kids are capable of. And I was definitely very nervous as to how that was going to go. And they loved it. They had a great, and they want to do it next year. They were immediately like, can we do that race? Like, we want to do that race. And I was
That's cool.
You know, it's a 3-hour, 6-hour, so not really, but it did prompt us to sign them up for their very first trail race in June. They're going to do their first 5K officially.
Nice. Which one?
The Backyard Blaze.
Okay.
It's over by the YMCA,
yeah.
Kind of on the back part of Turkey Mountain.
Yep, yep.
It's June 1st.
Ran there a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, so it prompted us to, because we volunteered, they run with me, and so they have graduated to their first 5K.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
I
tell you, like Lake McMurtry run that just happened, I got memories of while I'm running the 50K, my wife and daughter, they're doing the 5K, and then Autumn stayed after. She loves to help. Same thing, cutie pie, handing people their water, checking on them and stuff like that. And so, like, just, you know, I finish and I'm just proud watching her serve others, like really checking on people. And do you need anything? Can I get you anything? And it's like, there's part of me that's like, why don't you help like that at home? But there's another part of me that's like really proud, and you know, and just like, you know, okay, they she can, you know, she gets it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
absolutely.
Sweet.
Yeah. I wanted to share a couple things for any parents that think it would be a good idea to start bringing their kids running with them. Some little kind of tips and tricks of different things that we do. So we do two type of runs with kids. We have the park crawl, which is essentially, Riverside is perfect for this because you have a playground every 2 miles.
Okay.
And so I'll park somewhere kind of strategically, and then we will hype up getting to that playground. My boys are old enough now, they ride their bikes.
Okay.
And they're faster than me now. Like, genuinely, they slow down and they wait for me and Liz, because pushing the stroller, they're faster than me. I can no longer keep up. Like, the tables have really turned.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hype up the playground and then they ride the bikes. I push them. We talk, we chat, you know, we get 2 miles in and I let them get out and play at the playground. And
nice.
I will jog laps around the playground. So I kind of can keep my heart rate up, keep moving, keep getting some miles while they play just right there. After 10, 15 minutes, all right, load back up. We're going to go to the next playground. And you run. And depending on how long your run is, you can get a lot of miles in this way.
Yeah.
And
it breaks it up for you, too.
Yeah. And provided you don't run out of snacks, you could do this all day. Like,
yeah.
If you observe kids at playgrounds, almost never are kids voluntarily leaving. It's always parents making their kids leave because they've been there for so long.
Yeah.
Or, okay, the time's up. We got to go. My kids have never asked to leave a playground.
Yeah.
Like they love playing, the creativity, the stuff, they love it. And so, you know, we get out, we let them stretch their legs. I jog around the playground and then we keep going and we get to a new playground and it's a whole new exciting thing. And so you can get 8, 10, 12 miles. And age of kid depends, because like my boys now can ride their bikes really well. When they were starting on their bikes, they wouldn't have been able to ride that far. So right. if your kids are younger, you definitely have to set goals that are appropriate for their, like, if they can only bike a mile, park a mile from the playground
yeah.
and a mile back, and maybe pick up your run, do part of your run before, after, whatever.
Yeah.
But this leads to the second type of run that I think is one of the best, is just park loops. Mm. Literally, it works on almost any playground. Now, it doesn't bother me anymore, but in the beginning, it can be kind of monotonous because you yeah. are literally running in a semi-small circle.
Yeah.
For any local Sepulpa or Tulsa people, there's a park in Sepulpa called Unity Park. It is fenced in, and it has a 0.1-mile walking loop. So 10 loops is a mile, but it's fenced in.
Yeah.
Like the kids can't go anywhere. And so it's amazing because it really kind of allows you to have more of kind of your own space.
Yeah.
While also having, like, over the summer for parents whose kids are out of school, they're not at camp. Like, you still want to get your training in. You still want to be able to do those things. And if you're having a really full day or you just don't want to wake up super early, it's a great way to get those miles in. Your kids get to play at the park. Tons of snacks.
Yeah.
But the playground pretty much is their entertainment. And you can, like, today I did 8 miles at that park, at Unity Park.
Yeah.
And my kids played the whole time.
Yeah.
They will run up with snacks and I'll kind of open them and give them back. And then they run and play. And
yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's a great way to get those miles in. And I think with strength training too, for parents that maybe it's hard to get your strength training done at home. I think
yeah.
it can be hard to be motivated when you're at home because you could be doing so many other things.
Yeah.
Throw a pair of dumbbells in your van, your 10-pound, 20-pound, whatever. Do your workout at the park. Like, throw your kids on your back. Do yeah. walking lunges. Do squats with your kids. Like, it's fun for them. They love it. Like,
yeah.
there's piggyback nothing better ride. Than a piggyback ride. Yeah, exactly. So, like, finding ways to involve your kids not only makes them excited, but it's keeps you, I think, kind of motivated and having a good time.
Yeah.
It's no longer like, oh, I have to do this strength session. It's like, dude, this is going to be wild. Like, hop, see if I can carry both the kids yeah, and do this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's fun. I got some, this is something, it's another like kind of hack you can do that gets your kids really into it, is going and buying like little 2-pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
Bring them with you, throw them out there. My kids will come do most of the stuff with me.
Yeah.
And my son Gideon actually drew out with pictures of stick people a workout plan that he made up on his own. And one day, just randomly, I'm in the kitchen. He brings it to me. He's like, me and Jed are going to go work out in the living room, like, if you want to come. Yeah. And I was just like, what's happening? Like, is your personal trainer now? Like, you're 7. What's going on?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but just setting that example and then seeing, like, this isn't something that has to be terrible. Like,
yeah.
so many people talk about hating running because of how track was or because of their experience with it. And I think it's just a great thing if you could instill this like love for exercise, this love for running when they're little, like make it fun. It doesn't have to be this like terrible thing that we have to do because we want to race, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, it becomes it's part of you guys' routine. It's part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they can carry that with them where it's just part of what they do. Healthy lifestyle. That's awesome. So besides, you know, you're squatting kids, you're pulling kids, you're pushing kids, you're running around, playgrounds and stuff. And you've kind of walked up, you've done all the distances up to 50 mile. And so I have to ask, what's next?
Well, that's a great question. I feel like I would be a little more ambitious. I still have plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
So I'm doing Sweat Hot Oklahoma in July.
Okay.
Which I did that one last year.
Yeah.
Super fun. Highly recommend it. I'm already working on my costume. They're doing a contest titled Murka, where you put on your best. Very much so has like summer barbecue vibes, like 4th of July. And so get your best, like patriotic, hillbilly,
I need to do this.
Maybe. You should.
I need
so
to.
I'm
well, I've got
working on mine.
I've gotten invited and I want to go do it. And I love the people there. And I know Nicole's running it, Lofton, and everybody.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of friends and stuff. I just need to get out there and suffer. And now this just kind of puts me over the top with America theme because I just,
I
got stuff. I can wear stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I'm excited for Sweat Hot. It's right around my birthday weekend, too.
Nice.
And so I did it last year just because it was around my birthday.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. I mean, the heat aside, like, it was hot,
yeah.
but it really, I'm going to say it wasn't that bad just to get people to come to it. It really wasn't terrible. It was very doable.
I didn't hear about people puking or having to jump in ice baths. Nothing like that. No, it was great. It was fine.
Nobody got sick. It was amazing. To be fair, though, I did not get sick. And I fully credit this to heat training. Mm. I went out all my long runs. I did in the middle of the day. Wow. It would be like 90 to 100 degrees. And I'd go out and do 16, 20 miles.
Yeah.
I did it every weekend leading up. If you prepare, and obviously there's always the outliers of like you ate something weird, your body just doesn't love it and you get sick. Like that just happens.
Right.
But I was really nervous I was going to get sick. And I only did the 6 hour, so definitely not as hardcore as those 12-hour people. Like they were just, I was so impressed. They were killing it. One guy drug a tire the whole time.
I love it.
And I was
it.
Just like, how? Like, how are you doing this?
I've got a tire. So, I can paint it red, white, and blue.
Hey, that's a, that sounds like a winner.
Awesome.
So Sweat Hot Oklahoma, the 6 hour again. I broke my brother into doing it with me. And so that'll be really fun. And then the Urban Adventure 50 mile in September. So another 50 mile race.
Nice. I love it. That's a great one. I did the 100 there too. And that's fun. Kathy and I love Kathy and the crew there, man. That's always a fun race. And it's a tour of Tulsa.
I'm excited for it. It's one I canceled because of my feet.
Yeah.
Last year. And so I'm very excited to do it this year.
So I'm going to tell you, I had plantar fasciitis one time. And you know what cured it?
Tell me.
I ran a 100 miler.
Okay.
Seriously.
No joke.
I didn't have it after.
No joke. I did that 50 mile race. I was expecting my feet to be on like a 10 pain scale. Like they started at like a 2. I was like, they're going to get really bad. By mile 8, they both hurt. By mile 15, nothing hurt. Literally, my feet didn't hurt the rest of the race. And for 2 weeks after the race, I had no foot pain at all.
Say if you'd have just doubled it up, you'd have been done for good.
Yeah. I should have done another 50.
I don't know what it is. I think your feet just say, well, okay, this idiot's just going to keep running, so I might as well give it up.
I guess so, because I was shocked. Because I was like, I'm going to be in so much pain. I'm barely going to be able to walk. And my feet, like other parts of me, were definitely hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
But my feet weren't hurting at all. And I was really shocked by that.
I don't have an explanation, except maybe it stretches it or, you know, but whatever. It worked for me, and I haven't had it since. So
yeah, we're not doctors, but you should do a 100-mile race.
I'm not saying you should do a 100-mile race, but you should probably do a 100-mile race.
I would say there's definitely a 100-mile race in my future.
Okay. All right.
But when that will be, who knows?
Okay. Yeah.
Hopefully not too far. But I think this year I've got some good races that I'm really looking forward to. Maybe 2025. Honestly, I was really tempted. Isaac added the Hilltop 100 distance, 100 mile distance.
Yeah.
And it's really tempting, but I want to do the Snake Run, which is the week after, because I missed the Snake Run this year. So my kids and I are going to do the 4 mile. And this is another shout out to all the parents. Isaac is awesome in that he does a free child entry with an adult entry.
Nice.
So we signed both my boys up, and it makes it a lot more affordable than if you're like, let's sign up the whole family, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a great race to bring your kids to. It's so fun. And so, I'm going to do the Hilltop 4 mile and then Snake Run. But the 100 mile distance is definitely a white whale out there that I'll get one of these days.
All right. Well, with the attitude you have and the work ethic and all, you know, when it comes time to do it, you'll get it done. I have no doubt. And, so I love it. I love that you include your kids. You didn't use your kids as an excuse for what you can't do. You figured out a way to do it. And, so kudos to you for that, man. I'm impressed. And, you know, for those of you listening, we can always make excuses, whether it be our family, our kids, our, work, there's always excuses. And so, or you can figure out a way to make it happen, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but you know, you can figure out a way without neglecting your family, without trashing your, you know, your life or whatever, you can do it. And so just figure it out, be smart. Adapt, you know, your journey is not like everybody else's journey. And there are people who can train all day long, every day without hindrance. Well, that's good for them. You got to bloom where you planted, wherever God's got you, you know, figure it out. So thank you for being an example of that. And thank you for sharing with everyone. And so, how can people find you if they want more tips on running with children?
Well, I've always been someone who's not a big social media person.
Yeah.
So I have a Facebook account. I'm a local Tulsa person. So if you ever want to meet up, you can look me up on Facebook. My profile picture is me and my kids at the Hilltop finish line.
Nice.
But I love doing the group runs and stuff. And any people I meet at races, I love staying in contact with and,
cool.
and touching up with at races. So.
Well, I'll put a link to your Facebook on the show notes so people can check it out. And I'm with you being right around here in the races and the people I'll see you soon at a race. I'll see you. We'll be out there soon. So, well, thanks so much for visiting and, thanks for sharing with everyone. Anything else before we press stop on the record?
Yeah. I mean, I think just, you know, have a good time.
Like, there you go.
It should be fun. Just enjoy it. Life's short.
100%. I agree. Well, thanks so much. And, we'll talk again soon.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right.